Thank you all for joining us this evening. If you would, please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Sure. Please join me with the pledge to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. At this point in time, I would like to call to order public hearing of the Cochise County Community College District Governing Board. Pursuant to Arizona Revised Statutes 15-1461, the Governing Board shall hold a public hearing and present the proposed budget to the persons attending the hearing. Upon request of any person, the Governing Board shall explain the budget, and any resident or taxpayer of the district may protest the inclusion of any item in the proposed budget. Ms. Wheeler, did you have anybody signed up to address the board?
I've had no request to address
okay.
the board.
Dr. Perry.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Pursuant to ARS 15-1461, the budget was duly published in Sierra Vista Herald, the paper of record, on Sunday, May 25th, 2025, as well as Wednesday, June 4th, 2025. The budget schedules A, B, and C were also shared with you. If you give me a moment, I'd like to just go through a couple of things on the budget as we work through this public hearing. The first slide here is an overview of the truth and taxation calendar, showing us adhering to that which is required, our legal requirement, as well as state statute. There we go. One more. They must be new batteries. All right. Schedule A here highlights the total funds and estimated personal compensation at $40,998,091 and a tax levy rate placed by the board in the amount of $28,424,248. Yeah, you can't see that. That's under section 2 and then also under section 3A at the bottom there. Slide 3 here outlines the district's levy assumptions, also in your packet. Schedule B highlights the general fund for the 2026 amounting to $57,547,584. Restricted funds started with $8,517,923 in addition to funds from Prop 207 as well as rural aid funds. Schedule C here shows then our total budget. If you look down at the bottom, is $94,222,699 with a decrease from last year's budget of 3.6%. As we've talked about before, the budget is based on the college mission and strategic priorities. It follows budget principles. We use conservative projections, both in revenue, enrollment, based on possibly what the state budget will be, the Joint Legislative Budget Committee, and our property taxes, of course, at 2% TNT and new construction, as well as expenses. This budget addresses employee compensation benefits, which is extremely important as we retain and recruit quality faculty and staff. It addresses increasing costs, facility improvements, and deferred maintenance, and provides for contingencies, growth shrinkage, and opportunities. And lastly, the budget is balanced. The final slide here shows the timeline for the budget development, which started in February with a board retreat, as we identified key prioritized areas, moving down through tuition action in March 11th, preliminary budget overview, community college April 4th, preliminary budget discussion on the 15th, truth and taxation held on May 13th with the passing of a 2% increase to the tax levy, which brings us to today, budget adoption, June 10th. And it includes Workforce Development Plan 301, our compensation plan, as well as college ongoing initiatives, strategic, facility-wise, and fund balance. With that, I'll open up for any questions.
Any questions from the board? Are there any individuals in the audience wishing to address the board regarding the proposed budget? Seeing nor hearing any request to address the board, I adjourn the public hearing. Now I'd like to call to order the special meeting of Cochise County Community College District Governing Board for adoption of the fiscal year 2025-2026 proposed budget. And I request a motion to approve.
So move.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And with that, I will adjourn the special meeting. Now, what everybody's waiting for, call to order the public hearing of the Governing Board of the Cochise County Community College District. .03, adoption of the agenda. Dr. Perry, does the agenda stand as published?
Mr. Chair, pursuant to Arizona Revised Statute 38-431.02, the agenda has been properly advertised. However, the administration would like to modify the agenda and replace agenda items 2.02 placeholder, facilities and project manager, and 2.03 placeholder, mechanic shop specialist. The administration is requesting the governing board adopt a motion to approve the hiring of the administration's recommended candidates. Mr. Chair, I have no further modifications and the board may take action.
Very good. Thank you. 1.04, citizens in-person entry. Anybody signed up?
No request to address the board.
Very good. Thank you. Standing reports, 1.05. And this is 1.05.1 is representative to the Arizona Association Community College Trustees. We are sending our representative down the road, so there's no there's no report this evening, but we would like to nominate an individual to take Mrs. Strange's place. Do we have a nomination?
Nominate Steve.
Oh.
Big surprise.
Second?
I will second.
Any discussion? Steve, your last chance. Okay. All in favor?
Don, I do have that little comment.
Okay.
I have a tiny comment, and this has more to do with records and history. Fast forward to this moment. In the past, when AACCT was formed, that first set of bylaws that I was involved with, it was a huge discussion in the state and within all the boards at that time and presidents about how this representation would be done. This is kind of a philosophical debate in terms of local control, local boards knowing what they're doing versus a state level board who actually has absolutely no business dictating what we at the local level decide in our processes. The state board is not any more equal than we are in terms of we're all elected officials. So that was my position under Dr. Karen Nicodemus, and it remains my position today, Dr. Perry. This is tied up also with my huge philosophical dislike for anything that resembles the community colleges in Arizona becoming anything that resembles a system. Totally opposed to a system concept, even though there are many states in America that have community college systems. I guess an example would be Louisiana.
North Carolina, you have a number, California, that have statewide systems.
So this is my personal opinion. I'm not speaking for the board, but I am very, very glad that we have nominated and will send forward to the state meeting, Steve Leader, who is a trustee newly on board, and he is as ready as anybody else to represent us at the state level, because we're proud of Steve. He's going to do a good job.
Thank you.
Okay, that's my two cents.
That's perfect lead into all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Congratulations, Steve. 1.05.2 is a Senate report. There is no Senate report this evening. There wasn't a May meeting. 1.05.3 is Student Government Association. And again, there is no report from them this evening. College's President's Report. Dr. Perry.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. As we kind of close out the year in the legislative session, progress at the legislature really continues slowly. The House adjourned until June 16th after voting on a few bills. June 4th, continuing their pattern of kind of periodic floor activity while the Senate recessed, but indicates plans to return on June 16th, which would give lawmakers only 2 weeks in order to get a budget to Governor Hobbs before she signs the end of the fiscal year. However, some believe that they are close to a budget deal, although both the House and the Senate, both controlled by the Republican Party, disagree on how they want to spend the approximately $270 million surplus. So that still has to be worked out, where the House would like to allocate a certain amount of money to each representative to spend within their districts, rather than identify key priorities, which the Senate would prefer to do. So again, there's supposedly talks behind closed doors, but we haven't seen anything. Like I said, both chambers are supposed to return on June 16th, and then there'll be this flurry to get a budget passed by June 30th, rolling into July 1. We continue to track a number of bills in the Arizona legislature, and we'll keep the board up to date, as well as legislation at the federal level. To that end, I've provided two things on the dais for you. One is legislative bills that we have been tracking since the legislative session and kind of where they are. So at your leisure, you can kind of look through some of those. You'll see that some of those have already been vetoed by the governor. So kind of off the radar now. The one that's kind of out there that we're waiting to see what happens right now is the anti-Semitism bill, which got sent to the governor. It's been with her for a couple of days, but really it opens up liability to faculty and staff in education because it says somebody could bring charges against them, anti-Semitism charges, or make a complaint against them in a civil suit, and then we wouldn't be able to protect them under free speech laws. We expect, however, the governor will veto, but it's going to be highly controversial. The second handout that you have is in regards to the House's budget reconciliation bill. The President Trump's big, beautiful bill. I've identified some timelines in there. The bill was narrowly passed by the House, 215 to 214. Now it moves on to the Senate to be debated and hopefully amended in its current form. Anticipated timeline is Senate Majority Leader John Thune expressed the goal of having a bill signed and passed by July 4th. I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done to make it palatable and protect the interests of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of students throughout the United States and higher education. A few key things that I want to touch on within the bill that are particularly detrimental to higher education and specifically to Cochise College, and that is the changing of Pell Grants. Currently, full Pell, in order to receive full Pell, a student only needs 12 credit hours. There are anticipated changes to make that 15. And it disproportionately affects rural, low-income students that are trying to balance life, work, and school at the same time. as well as eliminating Pell for half-time students. I've already made the board aware that I sent a letter to Juan Ciscomani's office, as well as had a roundtable with Senator Kelly last week, where I was able to advocate for keeping Pell in its current form, as well as other things, and then also made sure that a letter got to him and his staff on that subject as well. So the main thing, the big thing is Pell, but I also want to point out that within the reconciliation bill is risk sharing, where community colleges and universities would be on the hook for students that do not pay back their loans or are delinquent, and we would have to pay a certain percentage of that. We are not set up to do that, nor is that our mission. So it adds one more thing on top of what we currently do in focusing on students. Lastly, but certainly not least, is the extent, although not extensively detailed, but the current version proposes elimination of TRIO programs, as well as cuts to adult education. And we know that those are some of our most vulnerable populations here at Cochise. We know that those services do make a difference. And we're hoping that we can continue to, that the federal government will continue to fund those programs so that we can help our students. So what will happen now is, as it goes to the Senate and they debate and amend, if they come up with something, then it'll have to go back to the House for passage. And then at some point, both sides of the House will have to agree on a bill. I mentioned at the last board meeting that all of the higher ed organizations, as well as community colleges and those that are able, as well as private citizens on their own time and their own dime, are contacting their representatives and congressmen and senators opposed to this bill in its current form. With that, any questions on the legislative update?
I think it was an ad on TV that Senator Juan Ciscomani has trying to set aside money to keep TRIO active in certain community colleges. I think you have to put in for that, though, did we?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what that is going to look like. I think you do have those that are doing the best they can in order to advocate for their constituents. But I think what you're seeing is because the federal education budget is a very large budget, it's overwhelmingly being looked at for cuts because it's so big, so that you can fund other things. I know that Pima Community College, as well as a few other ones, received notice last week because there are TRIO upward bound grants that some institutions have. They were just notified that their grants would not be continued. So even before the bill has been passed, you've got some movement from the federal government trying to halt things or stop things.
Thing that came to mind is, did they define anti-Semitism?
I think that's one of the issues with the current bill that's running through Arizona legislature right now is, what does that mean exactly? And just because you may be pro one side does not mean that you're anti the other side. And I think some of the disagreements is that it's not specific enough. And even then, why call out one specific type of anti whatever it is and not others? Discriminatory, anti-discriminatory. All right.
On specifically Pell and TRIO and these cuts, do we know as a nation, is everybody like sending their congressmen and their senators stacks of information showing this impact? I mean, we've really hammered this, right?
Yes. To my knowledge, the community colleges at least are hammering their representatives and their senators on the impact that this will have to their constituents locally, whether that be through storytelling, whether that be through data. Thank you, Janelle and Karen Emmer, for the data that they provided me that I could share with both Senator Kelly and Congressman Ciscomani to show that it really does make an impact here. And these are their voters, their constituents.
Done that. Okay, then this is beyond understanding how these kind of cuts could be made without any sort of impact from us that would know best on what the any kind of input that we would know the best the impact. I'm just overwhelmed with how challenging these times are.
Yeah, and rest assured that we will continue to focus on our students in the mission no matter what happens, while staying in line with federal and state law and statute. But this is unfortunate because, again, I think it disproportionately affects those that need it the most and the students that we serve, especially in the rural areas. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. On the facilities update, I mentioned before we're conducting a district facilities condition assessment. We should have preliminary findings and report by mid-August, and then we'll schedule a presentation of the findings for mid-September. For Douglas campus, the lease agreement is finalized with Hensel Phelps. We are in the process of occupant and furnishing relocation so that they can occupy that building, which should be ready the week of June 23rd. We continue with central plant modernization and optimization there on the Douglas campus, as well as renovations to library room 307 to split that into two classrooms. Wall build, electrical, and network drops are scheduled for the week of June 23rd, as well as some other things that will continue. We expect exterior door installation the week of July 21st. And hopefully complete the project that same week. Adult education classrooms, interior abatement and demolition is completed. We're going to hold on some improvements, which the build back roof replacement and the courtyard drainage, as it was a little bit more extensive than we anticipated. And we need to have architectural drawings and civil drawings drawn up for that. But we estimate the project to be completed sometime during the fall semester. Wachuca Hall, we continue partial abatement remodel for some of the rooms there and expect that to be completed the week of June 9th. Also, the truck entrance improvements are completed. Grading and asphalt millings have been laid down and completed for the truck entrance that is closest to Douglas on the east side of the campus.
First. Yes.
Campus entrance, where we talked about a welcome center roundabout near parking lot A. The architectural and civil design on-site assessment is currently in process, and we expect drawings by mid-July and hopefully asphalt laydown and completion the first week in August. Sierra Vista, of course, I don't know if you've been through the library area there, but it looks like the Barista Cafe is going up and the coffee is going to be soon. Steve is taking over for Tim, leading that charge. So that should just happen soon. And we're hoping that by mid-July, that'll be completed. Campus Services Building 2600, they continue to do interior finishes and furniture installation is expected in mid-July with move-in tentatively planned for September sometime. And then lastly on facilities, but of course not leastly, is the police cruisers. Simulators are installed and operational. However, we still are waiting on the helicopter. I'll be meeting with Roberge next week. Hopefully we can pin him down for a delivery date for that flight simulator, because we would really like to put the doors back in that building and make Beth very happy.
Might as well.
All right. Moving on to initiatives. The college has sent its quality initiative report as part of its comprehensive accreditation visit. The quality initiative report is a central component of the Higher Learning Commission's HLC Open Pathways. That's what we're on. We're an open pathways school. So what it means is, as part of the 10-year accreditation, we chose a quality initiative project. And that project for us was the bachelor's degrees, right? So what we've done is we've submitted our comprehensive report for that quality initiative project to them, and they will review that and then get back to us with any questions they may have. And that kind of leads in then, as part of the process, to our accreditation, our comprehensive accreditation in February. We have also been informed that our application for candidacy through ASIN has been granted for the baccalaureate nursing program at Cochise College. So what that means is, so thank you to Beth and her team. And Melissa, Melissa out there? Melissa's not there. And her team. What it means is we hold candidate status valid for 2 years, and it will expire in June of 2027. So we will have an accreditation visit by ASIN within 2 years. But anybody, once we get that accreditation, anybody that was in during those 2 years is grandfathered in. Right? So our students are protected. All of our spring EMTs passed the national registry. There were 18. All of our fire science students passed the state fire certification exam. So kudos to them. On the workforce CTE side, construction on the build house is nearing completion, and the lot for the next build is already being prepped for construction. So if you see Doug Schlarbaum, make sure you give him a pat on the back and tell him thank you for all the work. He was looking a little worn down last week, but he does a fantastic job. He really does. As we prepare for the port of entry, we remain fully committed to workforce training. We have had some conversations with Hensel Phelps as they get ready to build the commercial port of entry and look at some initial trainings that they thought that the community could use as they open up the possibility to hire a local workforce. That was OSHA, first aid, and blueprint reading. They were kind of outlined both by Cochise College and the City of Douglas leadership. So we've worked hand in hand with some key individuals there in designing this. So key updates, initial training needs were those three. The first OSHA 10 training was completed May 29th and 30th with 21 residents earning their OSHA cards. We've also got another OSHA 10 training session scheduled for June 26th through 27th with already 30 people registered. Okay. We also, with the City of Douglas, we conducted customized contract ethics training for city employees on the 12th of May through from the 12th of May through June 4th. 250 employees were trained. This was in response to the City of Douglas has just implemented a new ethics policy. So we were able to get that training and help them with that. City of Benson, we are now part of the City of Benson's employee training plan. So one of those recognized training providers. Again, updates, we doubled down on OSHA 10 training conducted on June 9th and 10th. Well, that's today, yesterday and today, and with 16 employees. And then we've got another one, an OSHA 30, which is the second series, scheduled for July. In Wilcox, we've got we're presenting to the Women in Business group, and we'll present an AI for business class to that group. And then we also have summer camps that are running. They started last week, June 2nd. They will continue through June 26th. This is mainly for younger kids. So as we really get the college out in front of them, as we get name recognition and get them excited about coming on campus and doing some of those things, we've kicked those off. We have 160 students enrolled in 9 different camps, ranging from Ecology of the Southwest, culinary, ceramics, game design, genetic adventures, guitar, creative writing, get to know your car, health and fire, and cyber. In fact, one of my daughters is taking ceramics now, and she's got culinary next week. So if I come back sick next week after having eaten, you know why that is. All right, moving on to general comments, community engagements. This last month has been remarkably busy, as we had a presentation with APS on a rebate check
at the Douglas campus. Of course, we had adult graduation on May 14th, nurses pinning ceremony on the 15th. Mixed in between there was Top Cop May 16th here. And of course, May 16th in Douglas, we had our commencement. Thank you to Jen Watts, faculty, staff, for all of your work. It was a successful and really memorable commencement. What a beautiful night.
It was awesome. Great job, folks.
May 17th, myself and Dean Molina attended the Wilcox Wine Festival. Also had an update on NAU's A++ agreement. I attended a roundtable with Senator Mark Kelly on May 29th. We had the Police Academy graduation on the 29th as well. Also, the evening of the 29th, an SSVEC dinner and their annual meeting, as well as, let's fit one more thing in, the night of May 29th, our Cochise alumni event at Tombstone Brewing, which had approximately 36 in attendance, Jen. It was fantastic. I got a chance to meet students that had just graduated on the May 16th commencement, as well as those that were 2005, their educators in Douglas, 1977, 1981. I think it really goes to show that we've got a population out there that is wants to be affiliated with Cochise College, wants to be part of alumni. And as we kick off these events and kind of this new initiative, I think we can really get some momentum to getting the community involved and excited about not what they did, but what we are doing and how they can continue to contribute. I also met with Cecilia Mata, the chair of the AZ Board of Regents. I had lunch with her on June 4th. June 5th, I met with Dan Volley, Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. June 5th and 21st. I'm sorry, that was June 5th. We had the 21st annual Key Account Appreciation Day for SSVEC out at the Benson Golf Course. And then June 9th, of course, we had Jane Strain's recognition farewell ceremony yesterday. Real quick, upcoming events. I have some annual leave from June 12th through 16th. June 17th, we'll be meeting with the student, Artemisia Foundation Museum Scholarship recipient. June 17th, meeting with the director of the Mayo Family Foundation. June 18th, Zoom meeting with Robert's SIM leader. June 19th, the college is closed for Juneteenth. June 23rd through 24th, again, I have some annual leave for soccer in California. June 25th through 26th, AC4 meeting in Phoenix. July 2nd through the 14th, family vacation. And then July 8th, Zoom-only board meeting for us. Mr. Chair, members of the board, that's my report. I'll take any questions you may have.
Questions? Good. I do. I have one question probably for Wendy. Thinking of these two new projects, have we completed the punch list on those?
Mr. Chair and governing board members, yes, the majority of the punch list items have been completed. They're right now in the process of completing ADA installation of showers in the ADA suites.
Okay. So. Excellent. Do we have all the lanes open over here?
Yes, the lanes are open. We did find during the last rainstorm, the only rainstorm maybe this year.
Well, we had a test.
That we had some leakage. So they are working on correcting that.
Well, it's good we had that little June 1st test.
Yes, absolutely.
Get ready for monsoon. Okay, yes, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Perry. 1.05.5 is the monthly financial report for May 2025. The governing board will review the financial report for May 2025. Were there any questions? It was in your packet. Moving along to 1.05.6, the monthly academic progress report. Again, that was in our packet. Was there any questions on that report? And 1.05.7 is monthly academic progress report for adult education. Any questions on that? Very well. Moving on to new business. 2.01 is the consent agenda, and I need a motion to approve that.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. We have no employee.
Mr. Chair and members of the governing board, good evening. We do have an introduction this evening. Awesome. You'll notice that the agenda does not have introductions as a line item. My apologies, that is not Crystal Wheeler's fault. It is me who interjected our employee tonight, but thank you for allowing this anyway.
If you could read it, I actually inserted it.
Hey, all right. Standing with me is Don Rayleigh, recently completed service as an instructor of administration of justice. 5 years? 4 years?
Started in 2019, yeah. So we're right at almost 6 years.
6 years. Wonderful. And on July 1st, he will begin as our director of the First Responders Academy. So we felt like it was important to introduce him to you this evening. He has a PhD in general psychology with a specialization in industrial and organizational psychology from Grand Canyon University. He brings 35 years of law enforcement experience in the state of New Mexico to this position, including 20 years with the Bernalillo County Sheriff's Department in Albuquerque, as well as 11 years as the chief of police for the Artesia, New Mexico force. He believes that our program is in its infancy, has a great opportunity for growth and to expand its contributions to the safety of those living and visiting our great state. He says his passion is for his family. My amazing wife and I have 5 children, including a set of twins and 3 grandchildren. While work is my pleasure, my family is my joy. Our new director of First Responders Academy, Don Rayleigh.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Don.
We had a placeholder, 2.02, and we're replacing that with which?
Yes, Mr. Chair. The administration is requesting the governing board adopt a motion to approve the hiring of the administration's recommended candidate for the facilities maintenance and project manager. Mr. Owen, you have the action item there at the dais.
One long. So I need a motion to approve his hire.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. And then the other placeholder was for the mechanic shop specialist.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. The administration is requesting that the governing board adopt a motion to approve the hiring of Mr. Miguel Arvizu, mechanic shop specialist for the Douglas campus.
Approve hiring Mr. Arvizu?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now we have a very special one. Trustee Emeritus Designation for Mrs. Jane Strain. Would you join me at the podium, please?
I was just going to ask if I had to move.
Yes.
Yes. So real quick, if we could do a motion just real quick. So, Mr. Chair, with the announced retirement of Mrs. Jane Strain on May 13, 2025, the college president in consultation with board chair requests board action to designate Jane Strain trustee emeritus. Board policy 211 establishes the process for the designation of trustee emeritus. In order to be considered for emeritus status, the governing board member must have served a minimum of 10 consecutive years on the board. Additionally, the governing board member will have served on advisory boards, commissions, and other associations related to community college governance. The designee of the trustee emeritus will be announced in the form of a board of trustee resolution. The administration is requesting the governing board adopt a motion to resolve the designation of trustee emeritus to Mrs. Jane Strain.
Move and second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay, now we're going.
Now we're going. Trustee Emeritus. Whereas the designation of trustee emeritus is awarded to former governing board members of Cochise College in recognition of extensive and exemplary contributions to the college and the community. And whereas Jane Strain's service to Cochise College and the electorate of Cochise County spans 27 consecutive years serving as a member, secretary, and chair. You started in the third grade, right?
Yes.
Whereas she acted as an ambassador for the college locally, statewide, federally, and whereas Mrs. Jane Strain has remained faithful and loyal and as a strong supporter of students, faculty, staff, and advocate for the institution's role in the community. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the governing board of Cochise College hereby congratulates Mrs. Jane Strain on her appointment as a trustee emeritus of Cochise College, adopted this 10th day of June, 2025.
Oh, God. That is pretty. This is amazing. Thanks.
May I?
You think it's bigger?
Yep. See?
Okay. Okay.
Like an Olympic medal.
Okay.
One more. Thank you.
Thanks, Wendy.
So additionally, after 27 years of dedicated service on the Cochise College Governing Board, Jane Strain has been awarded a lifetime membership by the Association of Community College Trustees. This honor recognizes Jane's lasting contributions to community college governance and student success. As a lifetime member, Jane will be recognized nationally by ACCT and continue to engage in trustee education. Just what you wanted, right? And events, even in retirement. We thank Ms. Strain for her outstanding leadership and congratulations on this well-deserved honor. Thank you so much, Jane.
Pretty awesome. If I might, Mr. Chair, before we move on to the next item, it's interesting as we look at the service that Jane has provided to this board, and what comes to mind is good boardsmanship, because over the last couple of days and even today, I've seen some poor boardmanship when it comes to boards working together to fulfillment of a mission. And Jane, just want to say that you and the rest of the board are really the epitome of what it means to have great board boardmanship in fulfillment of a mission such as Cochise College. So thank you again for all you do.
At least.
Okay, 2.05, appointment of chief physical officer. Administration is requesting the governing board adopt a motion to designate Dr. Wendy Davis. Oh, she didn't run. Executive Vice President for Administration as the Cochise County Community College District's Chief Fiscal Officer. And I need a motion to do so.
So move.
Second. Moved and second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations, Dr. Davis. 2.06, Property Purchase Agreement, City of Douglas. Administration is requesting the Governing Board adopt a motion to authorize the President or designee to sign the property purchase agreement conveying approximately 3.4 acres of land to the City of Douglas for construction of a new water system along with associated easements. Dr. Perry?
Yes, Mr. Chair. The City of Douglas is expanding utility services in support of the anticipated commercial port of entry. As part of this service expansion, representatives from the City of Douglas and the district have been working on a land purchase agreement for the City of Douglas to construct a new water well site and water treatment system on property located to in the southeast corner of the Douglas campus. And this is part of our not getting rid of the Douglas campus, but expanding opportunities. The attached agreement and appendices provide more detail and has been reviewed by legal counsel from the City of Douglas, as well as our attorney. In return for the property transfer to the City of Douglas, the district will receive water service and sewer service within 10 years. In the event the City of Douglas does not complete construction of the new water system within 10 years, the property will be returned to the district. City of Douglas administration is requesting that the governing board adopt, as well as us is requesting the board to adopt a motion to authorize the president or designee to sign the property purchase agreement conveying approximately 3.4 acres of land to the City of Douglas for construction of the new water system along with associated easements.
Very well. I need a motion to approve.
So move.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion?
It's a great move.
I just had one question on this. How did we come up with a 10-year time frame?
Mr. Davis, we were comfortable with some of the time frame that they.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and board members, the City of Douglas proposed the 10 years. We definitely wanted some reversionary rights should they not complete the water system within a specified amount of time. They anticipated taking, you know, a few years to actually get it built, and then all the infrastructure and everything that needs to go in is going to take time. So 10 years was proposed by the city, and we agreed to that.
But the college is going to hook into that system at some point in time.
That is our hope. Oh, yes,
our plan.
Sir.
Great.
And then our existing facilities will be our back.
That's correct.
We're connected to the City of Douglas for sewer and water. We still have a complete redundant system if theirs is down.
That is correct.
Mr. Chair, just one point of clarification. Right now we have three water wells on the Douglas campus property. One of them, the main water system, will serve as backup to potable water. The second system will become our irrigation well.
Okay, very good.
So that will require some infrastructure installation. And then, of course, the third well services our rodeo grounds. So,
are we going to be metered by the city?
We will be metered, and we've agreed to their rates. So,
okay. Yeah. So the other wells for irrigation are a really good idea.
Yes, okay. Definitely.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Information items. The college received no new communications for the month of June. Academic Affairs Division report. Janelle?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Dr. Perry, and guests, I'm excited to be here today to share an overview of how artificial intelligence, or AI, is shaping higher education and how Cochise College is responding. We used to imagine the future as something far off, flying cars, talking robots, maybe a jetpack or two, But it turns out the future showed up as a chatbot helping students write essays at 2 a.m. And currently, if I were to say Siri, Alexa, and ChatGPT walked into a classroom, it wouldn't be an intro to a joke. It's just an accurate representation of our students coming to school right now. AI is not something that's just being discussed in tech circles. It's here, it's now, and it's impacting our students. It's changing rapidly and having a direct impact on how our students learn, how our faculty teach, and how institutions like ours operate. Tools like ChatGPT, Grammarly, Microsoft Copilot are becoming everyday resources for students used for everything from researching and paraphrasing to improving writing and brainstorming assignment ideas. Recent studies from 2024 and 2025 show that between 80 and 92% of students report using AI for their schoolwork. These tools help them learn faster, write more clearly, and access support 24/7. It also allows them to have complex topics or concepts explained and summarized. For many students, AI is becoming as essential as a calculator or a search engine. Faculty and staff are starting to use these tools also, although at a slower pace. A 2025 global survey of college faculty found that about 61% of faculty had used AI in some form of teaching, but that most of them were still using it minimally. In another survey, 80% of faculty reported that their institution's policies lacked clarity. Right here at Cochise, a survey we conducted last year found that only 23% of employees that responded felt competent implementing AI tools in their daily work or teaching. This tells us two things. AI is being used, especially by students, but many educators and employees still need support in learning how to use it effectively, ethically, and creatively. There are some serious challenges we need to acknowledge and address relating to AI in higher education. Academic integrity is one of the biggest concerns. With AI able to generate entire essays or solve complex problems, we need clear, consistent guidelines about what is acceptable and what isn't. And just as importantly, we need to evolve our culture so we can move away from labeling all AI use as cheating and start helping students and employees how to use these tools responsibly. Equity and access is another key issue. Not every student has access to up-to-date devices, reliable internet, or familiarity with these tools. That puts some of our most vulnerable learners at a disadvantage in the rapidly changing landscape of AI in education. Faculty report feeling underprepared. Training, guidance, and open dialogue are critical to ensure our faculty are ready to utilize AI and enable students to learn in an AI world. We're also navigating ethical concerns, especially around data privacy. Many AI tools are operated by third-party companies that may collect or store user data in ways that aren't fully transparent. We need to ensure that our use is ethical and private while training students to critically think about the products and how to use them. It is an important lesson to teach students that in many cases, if the product they are using is free, they or their data is the product. We also must remember that AI isn't always accurate or unbiased. It can reflect and even amplify the biases found in the data it was trained on. We need to train faculty, staff, and students on the potential for bias, reviewing what AI spits out, and critically thinking about the flaws in logic, examples, or statements. It's not all risk, though. There's also a major opportunity. Employers are now expecting graduates to understand and use AI tools. According to a recent report from Microsoft and LinkedIn, 66% of business leaders say they wouldn't hire someone who without AI skills. 71% say they'd prefer a less experienced candidate who has AI skills over a more experienced one who doesn't. And 77% believe AI will give younger employees greater responsibilities early in their careers. So it's clear, we're not just teaching students for today's classrooms, we're also preparing them for workplaces that expect AI literacy. And that's why Cochise College has taken steps forward. With generous support from a grant from SSVEC, we were able to host Dr. Jose Antonio Bowen, a national thought leader in innovation and teaching, to lead the faculty and staff workshops on campus. He provided great resources and training and started some really great conversations across campus. We have launched book clubs focusing on AI in education. And there was also a group of employees who have formed an active AI community of practice where they come together from various departments to meet regularly to talk about how they're using or want to use AI. The community of practice and institutional research work together to survey employees to better understand their perceptions, concerns, and current practices around AI. That feedback is helping to guide the next steps. Looking ahead, the SSVEC grant is continuing to support more book groups and professional development in the upcoming academic year. We've also created an AI committee that will begin meeting this fall to work on things like campus-wide policies, ethical guidelines, and classroom resources. Faculty are even developing new courses to ensure our students can engage with AI critically, ethically, and effectively. AI is not just another tech trend, it's a transformative shift. Cochise College is doing what strong and innovative institutions do. We're listening, learning, and leading with intention. We are committed to helping students succeed in a world where AI will play a central role in every field. And we're just as committed to supporting our faculty and staff as they adapt to this new landscape. Thank you for allowing me to come and talk about AI today. I do want to be clear that I am not an AI expert. I don't fully understand the machine learning pieces from a technical expert perspective, and I mostly utilize it for very critical decisions like what to make for dinner, travel planning, and idea generating. But I am happy to answer any questions you have today. You might just have to give me enough time to type it into ChatGPT.
I went to that.
You did.
Yeah, that, and that was amazing. We were both poking each other going, oh, we're in so much trouble. But I think my question, though, truly is not for Janelle, but Dr. Perry in general. Is this going to be part of the HLC visit in February? Are they starting to look at this and how it's been in the policies and or not?
I think it could be some of the questions that are asked, especially as we look at or they review outcomes, curriculums, and those things associated with student success. Because, you know, like Janelle said, it's being expected in the workplace now. So we need to move away from the fact that people view it as cheating as a new tool that is going to be that is needed now and being used now. So the question is, how do we move away from that and really give students and people the tools to use it ethically and responsibly? I think that's the key. So yeah, there could be some questions related to that. One of the things I will add in Janelle's area is we're hiring an educational technologist, which will have a role playing in AI and how do we implement that and bring it to scale throughout the institution? Because it's kind of twofold. It's not just the students, right? It's faculty and staff as well. And then it's taking it out to the community as well as we look at some of the CLL and workforce things that we can do. This opens up a whole new avenue for us to support our communities from an educational perspective. Super excited about what they're doing and the direction that we're going in. All of you know, I have two teenage girls that are currently using it. You know, they're much more technologically savvy than I am. And the world that we know now and we are training for is not the world that they will be in the next few years.
Of course, we know Maricopa has already developed a certification, if not an A in it.
Right. And here was an interesting thing is most of the research is telling us not to launch a degree or certificate in AI because it's changing so fast. What they want us to do is focus on helping people use it.
Yes. Yeah, classes or we can set up classes.
We are. One of them, one of the beginning ones that most people are looking for is prompt development. You know, it's garbage in, garbage out. So if you have good prompts going in, you get what you're looking for. So the answer is yes.
Well, one of the things that Tim and I had so much fun with this Dr. Bowen, his book is called Teaching Naked. So it was a really catchy title until we figured out it was about AI. It was for Tim.
It wasn't an art class.
Is this an area where has ACCT
done anything in terms of helping institutions figure out how to break the AI code? And or is there a university that's like really out front in this that's open in terms of sharing best practices? And
it's kind of across the board. You've got some institutions who have jumped on the bandwagon in initiating it. I'll give you an example. So Arizona State University, they have, I think they're the only institution that actually has a partnership with ChatGPT for so many site license for their employees to go ahead and use it. And then they're doing research on it and those sorts of things. Some institutions are forming AI committees like we've done. Some are just now starting to look at policy reviews like we are right now in AI. So really we're kind of on the front end. And so somewhere within that spectrum are most institutions. Now, where it really differs is, for instance, within the syllabi, we've told faculty to make sure that they document what is acceptable use and what is not acceptable use. And it may be acceptable for some assignments, but not for others. Whereas I think you've got some institutions that are heading towards an overall policy for all coursework, right? And that gets a little bit stickier because you want to allow some academic freedom of the faculty to determine. But to that, you have to be careful about those that want to be dinosaurs and don't want to use it at all, because then we're doing a disservice to our students.
With the discussions around the country with AI, is there any concern about a possible loss of critical thinking skills?
Yes, I think that goes right hand in hand. I would compare it similar to a calculator, right? Using a calculator is only as good
instead of my slide rule
as the user, right? Yeah. And so I think that's what Dr. Perry was referring to, is we need to train students in how to write good prompts and how to critically analyze what AI is spitting out.
Can we ask AI that?
You can, yeah.
How to use AI?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, that is a lot of what Microsoft Copilot was designed for. So mm-hmm. That is Microsoft's version of AI, and it is the best tool out there to tell you how to use Excel and Word and PowerPoint.
Okay. Very good.
Because that's what it is trained in.
So to back up real quick, Mr. Leader, is large-scale organizations aren't telling institutions how to do it, but they are providing the mechanism for colleagues and people to get together to talk about what they're doing at various conferences. And also I'll point out that I don't have it in front of me, but there was an executive order from the White House that talked about AI integration and education specifically for K-12. So whether or not we need to move on it quickly and we need to embrace it, but you're going to have, like I said, my daughters are already using it. So by the time they get to us, they're going to be expected to be able to use it.
It's going to be a must. I mean, any organization that doesn't grapple with AI is going to get left behind. Good point.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you.
She has a style of presenting just like JB. Did you see that? The way she does. Number
four, comments from governing board members.
No.
With Jane?
Yes, David.
No, I don't think my wife's going to come to another college function, because she always says, is Jane going to be there first? Well, she may never come again.
Oh, Melissa will be fine. She'll be fine. I'm
sure she will. Anyway, thank you for your service. I'm going to miss you a lot. Learned a lot, and you deserve every honor that you received, and just been a pleasure to know you.
Yeah.
And I wish you the very best. Your grandkids are up there, they're going to gain and we're going to lose. They deserve it too.
Yeah, the jury may be out on that. We're not sure.
Thank you. Stepping in new, I feel like I've lost my security blanket, kind of. But yeah, no, thank you. You were so gracious. Bringing me on board, kind of showing me the ropes, and I just appreciate it. We're going to certainly miss you. It was inspirational yesterday at your event, and best of luck, and we'll keep in contact.
I am a little bummed that I'm missing these opportunities to work with these new trustees. It would have been super fun, and we would have had a lot of fun.
As a lifetime member of AACCT, is she not invited to their functions?
I think she is invited to the functions.
So we may see her somewhere down the road if we can figure out how to twist that arm hard enough.
I could just maybe hang out in the parking lot.
To go to dinner with us.
I want to thank you also for all these years. It's been a hoot.
Yes. We had some times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
You're going to have a blast. They're going to have a lot of fun too.
Yeah.
They need you, and it's a good time to be there.
Yeah. I definitely need to get there before they turn into teenagers.
Yeah. After that, they won't know you.
All bets are off. But I just so am overwhelmed with this. I really tried very hard to talk Dr. Perry out of the whole idea. I'm not a big fan of that, you know, visibility thing. It's a little nervous, but it was yesterday was wonderful. Well done. Crystal and Amber and Zarina did just an excellent job. I was shocked because when I walked in there, I'm thinking, well, there'll be the regular good staff will be there and maybe a handful of, and of course I knew Andy would be there, you know, because I didn't invite anybody. Well, I invited Sheila, my buddy that went to Green Valley, mm-hmm. and then she came back. But I didn't expect, like, Jason. Why would Jason come to that? Jason Bowen from SSVEC. So it was very shocking. And then, of course, that whole, those gifts were just precious. It was just amazing. It was difficult to get through some of that. But this has been the center of my life. Because of my background coming up through a junior college that my mother decided not to be the funder anymore until I figured out what I was doing. the community colleges are my heart.
Well, at least you didn't get kicked out like somebody else I know.
Well, yeah, I never lived in the student housing either, David. So it's wonderful. I appreciate all of you. And I am going to stay connected. There's a lot of stuff still going on. There's things happening next year with campaign words. So we'll be back and forth. Like the first time it snows, I may be here for sure.
We know how to find you.
Yeah.
We'll and we have your address too. So
yes. Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you, Donna.
And with that, this meeting's adjourned.